Farm Doctor Weekly is brought to you by Co-Alliance Co-op, Wayne County Farm Bureau, and New Lisbon Broadband Communications.
Good morning. Welcome to today's program. Today I'm with Don Thurston once again. And Don, it's been a little while since we've had the chance to talk. And the problem with all that is I get a chance to talk with you every 6 weeks or so doing this. But in between those times, we don't really get to share a lot of comments.
Yeah.
I don't know if a lot's changed since the last time we talked, but certainly one of the things that has changed a little bit, we're not as blessed with moisture as we once was probably when we talked last.
Yeah. And I think, John, what we're seeing show up now that we may not have been anticipating is maybe the moisture we were blessed with, it might have been a little excessive. It kind of set us up for some things now that we're seeing that maybe we weren't anticipating.
What are you seeing, Don? Let's just start with that, I guess. And are you seeing any particular problem at this point? You know, we're right here at the threshold of getting the combines
in
the field.
Yeah. Think about that. When you think about it, it's August 24th. The window is almost closed for, you know, what the interval that we talk about in the summer that really makes yield. July, early August on corn, super critical to get good rainfall. Soybeans, it's pretty much all about August rainfall. But we talked last, John, on July the 14th. So, you know, we're talking, you know, about 6 weeks. And I remember we were discussing at that point, yeah, crops look pretty good. If anything, we wish it would dry up a little bit. We'd had a period there through June, early July, where it was it had rained, you know, excessively. I think was fair to say that when it did come, it came in large amounts in short periods of time. We had some ponding in beans. Beans were kind of yellow in spots, but then it dried up and they started green back up. We thought, okay, we're in the clear. Now as I drive around, we've gone through this spell where we've had not excessive heat, but it's been pretty warm this season.
And you made a comment earlier when we talked before doing this, maybe thermometer-wise, you know, through this summer, the temperatures haven't been reading as high, you know, the 90s and stuff. You know, they keep saying we haven't had a lot of night, but the humidity has been bad all summer.
Yeah, the humidity makes it feel extremely hot to us humans. In the case of a corn plant or a soybean plant, it's hot, but it's not critically hot, you know. Which, you know, we tended to think that, oh, this is probably, it may not be ideal for crop growth, but it's not terrible either. Well, you start to introduce some moisture stress, and now the warmer temperatures start to make you see things that make you wonder. One thing I was going to say, going back to our interview on the last time, 6 weeks ago, I was reporting on things were looking pretty good. The week following that, we started some fungicide applications on corn. We use, to the extent we can, we try to get over our corn when we apply fungicide with a ground rig, a high clearance sprayer. So I was at that week later, after I thought things were doing pretty good, we're setting up on the sprayer, getting over a fair number of acres, you know, 8 feet, 8 feet in the air, looking down into the crop. And I saw something I did not anticipate seeing. We saw some yellow leaves down low in the canopy. You know, we thought, well, that's kind of odd. And I think that is what, you know, over a pretty good section of your listening area, John, I think that might be a problem that's a little more common than we may realize. That was something I didn't anticipate seeing, but what we think we've got is that that rainy period that we were talking about there, June, early July, possibly, may have left the soils wet enough that we restricted some root growth. May have leached some nitrogen, and we're not talking about widespread. Okay, we're talking about spots, but I think those spots may be significant enough that we'll need to be watching out for some things. what the plant does. If it isn't accessing enough nutrients through the soil, or there's another factor that comes in at this time of year during grain fill. John, did you ever think about when they were talking about the smoke that was coming from the wildfires out west? Did it ever dawn on you that might not be the ideal thing for crops? I didn't think much of it, but that actually, I have agronomists saying that actually reduces the quality of the sunlight that the plants get for photosynthesis. Yeah,
interesting.
And the radiation or the solar radiation that the plant captures, there's a quality factor to it. It's one of the components of yield, totally separate from growing degree units. You know, growing degree units is a formula based on pretty much on temperature, but the quality of the sunlight. If you have a lot of cloudy days, you're not going to yield as well if you have a lot of sunny days going through a season. So, you know, if you don't have that quality of sunlight for the photosynthesis to happen, you're limiting some root uptake because of, some of those factors we were talking about. Now, all of a sudden, your plant's not getting what it needs to put maximum yield into that ear. And it'll start robbing the nutrients that it has stored up in the bottom of that plant. And that's where those yellow leaves came from.
That's interesting. And that's the first I've really heard of that. And do you think it would affect it the farther west from here, where it was maybe heavier?
All the factors that go into yield, I really can't say, because, the rainfall was a variable that went into that. The rooting that the crop did, which was possibly affected by planting date. There's a number of factors that go in there as to how common that is. I'm just seeing it on a local basis, and that's what some of the smart agronomists are saying.
That's interesting.
Could be a factor. So, that is one problem we've seen cropping up that I didn't anticipate, and as I've gotten into the fields, it's more widespread than I thought it was going to be.
Don, let's take a quick break and come back. We'll throw some more stuff at you.
Co-Alliance, your local farmer-owned cooperative, is committed to cultivating communities, standing behind their value of conservation and service in rural and urban communities. They're proud to have a strong history in their hometowns. They look for new ways to cultivate success in the communities that they call home. Agronomy, liquid fuels, propane, home heat, and grain marketing. Co-Alliance Cooperative, your local farmer-owned cooperative, and part of the community since the 1920s.
We spend our entire lives hearing the word no, and we're always told what we can't do. My fellow Americans, it's time that we stand up for ourselves and what we want. It's time that we say yes. When it comes to high-speed internet, say yes to an LBC. When it comes to no data caps, say yes to an LBC. When it comes to free installation and local customer service, say yes to an LBC. Join the Say Yes movement right now at NLBC.com. NLBC, your life connected.
Did you know Indiana Farm Bureau offers its members thousands of discounts and everyday expenses? A Farm Bureau membership gives you access to more than 250,000 offers, such as discounts on hotels, rental cars, flowers, restaurants, movies, equipment, vehicles, and more. This includes featured discounts with major brands like Ford, John Deere, and Grainger. Using just one of Indiana Farm Bureau's member discounts can save you more than the cost of your annual membership. Anyone can become a member. Find out more at infb.org today.
Back now with area farmer Don Thurston. And Don, was it last week, I believe, the report came out that everybody was waiting on, or was that 2 weeks ago? I don't remember now. Time's gotten away from me.
I think it was 2 weeks ago.
A lot of people were waiting on that. We heard numbers that we thought was going to be fairly,
attractive. Should have been market positive.
But yet that didn't price happen. Positive. That didn't happen.
Yeah, we had one day up on the report, and then it seems like we've done nothing but inch lower ever since.
And the reasoning, in your estimation? I mean, it should have been.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Or you would have thought it would have been.
Yeah, I think a couple of factors, I think kept us from getting the pop we thought we were going to get out of that price-wise. Basically, the report said the yield expectations that USDA had put on for the cumulative total of the Corn Belt crop. You know, they came in with a lower number than the trade had anticipated. Okay, so the lower number, you'd think, well, that's less surprise, prices should go up. And then right about the same time, they started coming out with better weather forecasts, you know, letting some rain into the really dry weather, dry areas of the Western Belt. You know, there was another factor that the day after the report, news started to circulate that an analyst or two had kind of thought that USDA might have undercounted acres on that report, that actually we may see more acres of corn come out in the end based on crop reporting at FSA, which wasn't actually included in that report, for the report there. I believe it was a week ago, last Wednesday, so about 10 days ago, as we speak today. You know, so there was a factor that kind of caused people to pull back a little bit. And then there started to be an uptrend in the value of the dollar that got people's attention. So there was just a number of factors that kind of took the wind out of the sails.
You know, when you and I have talked the last couple of different times, you know, everyone was pretty optimistic, you know, about this year's crop. You know, going in, things look good. Most of the growing season looked good. Prices are still good. You know, they're decent. But it looked like we was going to have a big yield. Mm-hmm. Have you maybe not as, you know, encouraged about the yield now as you was? I mean, do you think we're going to suffer somewhat in yield?
Considering the lack of rainfall over the majority, not all, but the majority of Indiana, and our locale has definitely not gotten the rain in the last 6 weeks, that critical time frame for, you know, setting up yield. It has not gotten the ideal rains. It's been real spotty. So boy, yeah, I'm pulling back. The a lot of the rain that they were forecasting did make its way into the Western Corn Belt, which stabilized those yields out there. Maybe they're not going to, at least maybe they're not, yields aren't falling out there. But I think we're taking the top end out of the crop we've got here in the Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio with late dryness. That being said, John, okay, we're taking the top end out of it, but where was the top end? You know, the top end was probably really good, but
you know, it's obvious that some of these beans are suffering from SDS out here, you know, but looking around, you made an interesting comment before we started recording this, but about 80% of your beans that you plant are have the SDS treatment applied to them. And certainly that's going to look good this year. But, I mean, you're sold on that.
Yeah, that's based on some data that we saw that were, you know, where it was tested at other sites, not necessarily on my own farm, but yeah, primarily we've seen a lot more SDS every year. The last 5 years, it's really been showing up.
And I think you're exactly right on that. It has been more, it's been here more than it hasn't been here in the last 5 years, I think. With these conditions, our swinging conditions and, you know, for weather conditions.
We absolutely tend to have more high intensity rainfall events through the spring than maybe we did, you know, 20 years ago. That's been proven.
Well, Don, I think the next time you and I get together, you'll probably be in the field. Let me ask you that. You anticipate an early harvest? I mean, this crop drying down?
Actually, I think unless our dry weather really intensifies here, I'm thinking we're probably pretty close to a normal start date. Looking at GDU accumulation, that's what I'm counting on right now.
But I guess at this point, you know, you're still very optimistic on yields.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good crop. I don't think it's going to be, you know, I don't think it's going to beat our top two.
So, you know, the last 2 years have been pretty decent.
Well, actually 2020 and 2018.
Yeah,
but two out of the last three have been, you know, just outstanding. Yeah. I would just be shocked the way we're seeing things. Multiple factors lining up. I'd be shocked that we're going to, you know, get any place close to those 2 years.
Well, Don, I'll see you in about 6 weeks, and maybe you'll be in the field, and we'll get some early data from you. I think we'll be in the field in 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Thanks for listening, everyone. That wraps it up for this week's show. Join me again next time. Until then, everyone, stay healthy and stay safe.
Farm Doctor Weekly has been brought to you by Co-Alliance Co-op, Wayne County Farm Bureau, and New Lisbon Broadband Communications.